from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Is this the only NFL Films music that you have?
I think it's the best one to come into a segment.
There's a lot of good NFL Films music. You know, all you got to do is just, you know, pull a couple of different ones. It seems like this is the one you come into the segment with every single time.
Well, the other ones are played beneath the segment throughout the course of it. You just can't hear it.
Okay. Fair enough. Here we go. Washington beats Tampa Bay if my keys to a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, this isn't easy to do for a season opener when you have one team that is completely brand new, and that's the team that you are focused on and what they have to do to win the game. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about here is much more about the team that we know, which is Tampa Bay, because basically their entire team came back. Their entire defense is back. And the one player that will be new, Jordan Whitehead, played in Tampa for 4 years before playing with the Jets for 2 years, and now he is back. We know a lot more about what Todd Bowles has done recently in Tampa Bay, and a lot less about what Washington has going here with Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury with a whole new group. Look, there is one big change in Tampa, and that big change is Dave Canales, who got Baker Mayfield to have his best year of his career, is now a head coach, and Liam Cohen is in as the OC. So it makes it hard in an opener, but I think there are a couple of things that really stick out to me in thinking about this matchup. And I think number one is really focusing on Todd Bowles, that Tampa defense, and being able to handle their pressure. You know, we all believe that the offensive line is a big mystery. Some of you believe it is the absolute weak point of the team. You've got a rookie quarterback in his first game. A lot of new faces out there. And Tampa, basically, with everybody back from last year, and again, a guy like Jordan Whitehead, who was there a few years ago, I mean, what they did at the end of last year, go back and watch the Philadelphia game. I understand Philadelphia was in free fall, but that playoff game against Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts was a nightmare for Philadelphia's offense, a total nightmare. They could not handle the pressure. They could not handle the blitz. It's one of the reasons Philly went out and got a new OC, Kellen Moore. Hurts was not prepared for that game. They were 0-for-9. On third downs in that game, and all 9 third down attempts were throws. It wasn't like they got stopped on 3rd and 2 on a running play 3 times. They were all throws. It was an X's and O's masterclass mismatch with Bowles against Philadelphia, and they totally exposed the Eagles' dysfunction in the moment. But it didn't really just happen in the Philadelphia game. Over their last three games last year, they were surging at the end of the year. You go back to through the final game of the year against the Panthers, albeit they shut out the Panthers 9-0 to clinch the playoff berth and clinch the division. Then they went to Detroit. It was a 17-17 game in the fourth quarter. And you know what? Those two teams did not succeed. They succeeded less in the big spots and third downs trying to throw the football than they actually had success. In those two games, Carolina was 2 of 12 on third down throws, and the Lions were 5 of 14, 5 of 13 on third down throws. So Tampa's defense was clicking. Todd Bowles, you can think whatever you want about him as a head coach. He is a total badass defensive mind, and he has done it to a lot of people. And this is a rookie quarterback with a new offensive line, a new scheme. They have to handle the pressure. If they don't, you got no shot. One of the ways to handle the pressure is you've got to stay out of third and longs. You know, you cannot be in third and six or longer, third and seven or longer. Now, I may look stupid for saying that because they have a talent at quarterback and a guy that can create at quarterback who may erase everything. And maybe Todd Bowles knows that going into the game. It's like, yeah, it's easier to get after Jalen Hurts in a dysfunctional offense, easier to get after Bryce Young in a dysfunctional offense, easier actually to get after Jared Goff, who can't really hurt you with his legs. Maybe I have to be a little bit concerned about what Daniels could do to make things right, even if they don't block it up correctly. And by the way, he can do that. To me, a real key to the game Sunday is how Washington handles Tampa's pressure and really steering clear of third and long. I do want to mention one thing, because I bet some of you will look this up and you'll say, you know, he did face one rookie quarterback last year, Tampa did. He faced Houston and C.J. Stroud, and Stroud threw for 470 yards and 5 touchdowns in the game. They won that game 39-37. It's true. It was earlier in the year. They got better and better as the season went along, Tampa did. You've got to stop, you've got to handle the pressure. That's number one. Number two, you know, Rashad White is actually a pretty good back who got better as the season went along and actually was really big in the game against Philadelphia. He averaged 4 yards a carry, was 18 for 72. Against Detroit in the playoff game, he was 9 carries for 55 yards, over 6 yards per carry. He really came on in the second half of last year. He had 2 games over 100 yards. In his last 7 games, he averaged 4.5 yards per carry. I'm interested in him as a back and whether or not they feature him a bit more than they did at times last year. Now, again, in the second half of the season, they started to feature him a lot more. He had a game at Atlanta, 25 carries, 102 yards. I think with a defense that is susceptible, perhaps, in the secondary, you know, especially at corner, you have to stop the run. And I think that they will test Washington and their ability to stop the run. And why do I say that? Well, because look at what happened to Dallas at the end of last year in the playoff game against Green Bay. With their smallish defense, a little bit smaller than what Washington has, they were shredded by Aaron Jones in the playoff game. And so it would not surprise me if Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator, they test a Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr. defense on the ground with a guy that really got it going, Rashad White, at the end of last year. You have to stop the run on Sunday if you want to have a chance. If you're in second and 4 and Mayfield's going play action and bootleg, big problems. And then lastly, you've got to cover their receivers. You cannot let Mike Evans and Chris Godwin take this game over. We know what a big receiver A.J. Brown did to Emmanuel Forbes last year, emasculated him. I know it's year two. It's a completely different system, which is hard to sort of predict what'll happen. But Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and the rookie out of Washington, the guy that didn't get talked about a lot, Jalen McMillan, are really good receivers. McMillan, along with Polk and Adunze, were part of the Michael Penix Jr., you know, Kalen DeBoer offense in Washington that got to the championship game. And they love him so far. This is a very good receiving core. Evans, Godwin, and McMillan, you've got to be able to keep them under wraps to a certain degree. And a lot of that will be stopping the run and not allowing Baker Mayfield to go play action on second and four or second and two play action. You know, you got to stay out of, you know, being completely in a we don't know if they're going to throw it or run it situation. But I would say, you know, without knowing what he will be in year two, that I hope we don't see Emmanuel Forbes matched up against Mike Evans in this game at all. And whoever is covering Mike Evans is going to have to do a good job, and he's going to need help, big help. So taking Evans in particular out and making Godwin, McMillan, and even their run game beat you is probably their best shot defensively. You know, all the other cliche stuff, of course, applies. You know, in a season opener, you want to see a highly energetic team. This is what they've promised us. You know, we're going to be highly energetic. We're going to be really getting after it. We're going to be getting down, as Dan Quinn said. You know, this is what you can judge us on, is we want our identity to be competitive, high motor, relentless physicality and speed. You got to be that team on Sunday. You know, you got to match that or exceed that of your opponent. You got to win the turnover battle in a game where, you know, the matchup on paper is kind of close. I mean, Tampa's a 3.5-point favorite at home. You know, the odds makers essentially consider these two teams to be fairly even on a neutral field. So you've got to get on the right side of the turnover margin ledger. Washington dead last year. Dallas has been at the top under Quinn in takeaways. So that obviously would be a massive determining factor in a game like this if Washington were, say, +2 or +3 in that category. You can't be minus, you know, on the road in a game that looks really close. And then, you know, all of the other cliches. You can't give up the big play in special teams. It's going to be interesting to see how they decide to handle this. You know, they do have Washington, that is, has a kicker in Cade York with a big leg. So you may not have to get to, you know, inside the 35 to try to attempt. Maybe it's the 40-yard line. We'll see how daring Dan Quinn decides to be in the opener. You know, they've got a guy in Chase McLaughlin who last year kicked in Tampa for the first time. He was 7 of 8 on kicks of 50-plus yards. He had a 57-yarder. He's got a massive leg as well. He was 29 of 31 on the season last year for the Buccaneers. So, you know, kicking games, special teams will play a factor as well. You know, the other thing that is in the forecast here is showers and thunderstorms throughout the day in Tampa on Sunday. And, you know, what does that do to an outdoor stadium with grass? You know, is that a factor in the game? You know, this time of year, when you play in a place like Tampa, you also have that, you know, possibility of what we saw last night in Kansas City. You know, a delay. I mean, right now, the forecast for Sunday afternoon, thunderstorms likely from 2 p.m. on. So you're talking about, you know, leading up to the game time and perhaps during the game with temperatures in the low 90s. So it's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. It may be damp. It may be wet. There could be delays like there always are in NFL games this time of year, especially in South Florida. So they'll have all that to contend with. But number one, handle the pressure. You know, hopefully Kingsbury has a plan for Jaden Daniels to handle what Todd Bowles throws at them. Number two, you got to stop the run. Dan Quinn in his last game as a defensive coordinator got absolutely shredded. In fact, Dallas wasn't very good against the run at times last year, period. And Rashad White can do it. He is better than perhaps you think he is. And then thirdly, you cannot let a guy like Mike Evans take over the game. You know, whether it is taking him out with bracket coverage, but certainly based on what we saw last year with A.J. Brown twice, you know, big, talented, physical wide receivers, you're going to have to figure out a way to take him out. Not that they don't have other guys like Godwin and the rookie that can hurt you, but you can't let Mike Evans dominate your secondary. So that's, it's hard in an opener, especially when we don't know anything about how our team is going to play. I'm very, very excited primarily about what Kingsbury offers up offensively. How much of it is college style, you know, which is NFL style now too. How much is Jaden included in the run game? How much dual threat read option do we get with Brian Robinson Jr.? And then do we get play action off of that? How much RPO? Remember, RPO is different than read option. How much RPO do we get where Jaden makes the decision based on what he's facing to either throw it on a run pass call or run the football? You know, how much quick game do we get? I think we're going to get a lot early in the season until Kingsbury figures out whether or not they can block up pressure. You know, whether they can, you know, truly drop them back without play action, you know. So don't be surprised on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, if there's a quick game throw, if there's a bubble throw to Terry. And don't be surprised if he's used in, you know, zone reads on 3rd and 5 or quarterback draws on 3rd and 5. Can't wait to see what it looks like. I honestly have no idea. My guess is there's going to be a real emphasis on staying balanced and using Brian Robinson Jr. in the run game. And at the same time, I think we're going to see our fair share of empty set. But the empty set will probably result in super quick game stuff. Or maybe what we saw against the Jets, you know, where it's three-step drop and he picks out one of the receivers and the corner or the DB or the linebacker that they're going after and they take a deep shot. That's stuff I can't wait to see Sunday. Defensively, you know, yes, I'm excited to see that too, but Jaden Daniels doesn't play defense. But they're going to have to be good. You know, Baker Mayfield had a great year last year, had a really good year last year, and they've got weapons. Like, this is a team that essentially is back, you know, completely back. And their last few games last year had to give them a good sense of what they could be entering this year. They were solid defensively, and they were right there with the Lions, who were then, a week later, right there with the 49ers. All right, what do we got going next? Where's my rundown, Denton? You know what? Denton's going to give us some news and also a college football weekend preview. And my smell test is still in the works here, so I may have to hold it off until next hour. Just waiting for some more information to come in. Kevin Sciancia, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
This is Denton's college football preview. We're going to try to do these on Thursdays and keep Fridays focused primarily on the NFL, but we had a lot of predictions to get through yesterday. We do have, Denton, a really, really interesting week two here. So I'll let you kick it off with, I'm sure, a game in the noon window.
Yeah, so this week two slate is highlighted by, it's really three games in particular. You know, once we get to the month of October is where we really start to get into conference play, where you're just going to be overloaded with great games every week. And there still are some good games here, but the one that is the highlight for many is the defending national champions, Michigan, hosting Texas, the number three ranked team in the country. That's going to be at the Big House in Ann Arbor. There's a lot on this one, Kevin. I think this is going to be the best learning experience for the season so far, because I, like many, have a lot of questions about Michigan and their offense. And I mean, we know about Texas's offense. They have, for my money, the best offensive play caller in college football. So I'm excited about this one, because I think we're really going to learn, one, how good Michigan's defense is, and if they actually have a quarterback that justifies them being ranked as highly as they are to start the season.
So who will the quarterback be? Are they going to alternate like they did last week?
I think so. I hate the alternating quarterback thing.
Yeah.
The dual quarterback thing, I cannot stand. I think it's very tough on an offense to have to kind of get it, start to get into a rhythm with two drives with one guy, and then all of a sudden it's another guy coming in. And that cycle, there's a reason that no good teams in college football do that regularly.
You think Sark is the best play caller in college football?
Yes. Yeah. I love him.
Who would be right there with him? Lincoln Riley?
I would say Lincoln Riley and Lane Kiffin are probably the three best, but I would say Sark, when Sark is on, maybe Kalen DeBoer in there too, but Sark, when Sark is on, I mean, he is spectacular to watch. I'll never forget last year's Big 12 championship when they're throwing touchdown passes in the first quarter to defensive linemen. I mean, that was just, it was literally a flexing of the muscles against a pretty good Oklahoma State team, where he said, I'm going to do whatever I want and you can't stop it. And then Oklahoma State literally couldn't stop it.
They beat Colorado State last week 52-0 in Austin. And Michigan actually struggled with Fresno. The final score was 30-10. I think Fresno's better than probably most fans realize. I have one other question on this before we talk about like our hunches on this game. Do they want to play Arch Manning? in these games, or is it going to be all Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning is just absolutely a backup quarterback?
So yes is the answer to that question. I think they want to play Arch Manning, but he is their primary backup. So they will play Arch Manning if they're blowing teams out. So I think everyone
there isn't any sort of quarterback controversy brewing in Austin.
Not at the moment. Now, okay. If Quinn Ewers goes out this weekend and throws four picks in the first half, maybe you get something. I mean, it's Ewers' job right now. He is, for my money, he's one of the better quarterbacks in college football. They're going to ride with him. Arch made the decision to stay, which I commend. I think that's the right thing for him to do and stay with Texas. But it's Quinn Ewers' team unless he royally, royally screws up a game or two.
Just so everybody knows, Wink Martindale, who's been a very good defensive coordinator in the league, the Giants and the Ravens most recently, is Michigan's defensive coordinator. So that's a really good matchup between him and Sark. Look, you know how I look at these games, and I'm giving away one of my smell test picks right now. But I think Michigan's going to be difficult to deal with for Texas in the big house tomorrow. I think that is a tough spot for Texas to go into. I think Michigan will be ready defensively. I think they will look better in week two offensively. As we both know, that typically happens week one to week two. There's a complete transformation of teams offensively in particular. So I think Michigan has a chance to, I think, shock a lot of people. And I know they're the defending champs, but it's not the same team. Different coaching staff, different quarterback, different running backs, etc. I like Michigan's chances in this game. What about you?
Yeah, so when this line initially dropped, it was 6.5.
Yeah,
I'm now looking at ESPN where it's 7. If I pull up FanDuel, it's 7.5. So the lines are varying. They're all over the place. If it's 6.5, I like Texas. I don't love them at 7.5. So I think I'm not playing this one. Just full disclosure, I'm not playing this one. But I don't hate the play of Michigan if you can get it at 7.5. Or, I mean, God forbid if you get it 8. If you get this at 8, Michigan is the absolute play at 8. But Texas is going to win.
Yeah, you know it's not the way I think. If that line's moving in that direction, it's sharp money that's moving it, so I'd be more concerned. But this is a great noon game. Texas in the big house against Michigan. Their first ever trip into the big house in Ann Arbor. So that'll kick off at 12. Give me the other games that you are excited about.
So here's one that is not going to be circled on a lot of people's radar, but I think should be. It's also in the noon window. I'm really intrigued with Georgia Tech and Syracuse. You know, Syracuse has Kyle McCord, who's the former Ohio State quarterback last year. The coach after week one said he wants to give Ryan Day flowers for letting him get Kyle McCord as his quarterback. We'll see how that goes after another week. But Georgia Tech and the ACC, I know we got a lot of ACC fans that tune in and listen. Georgia Tech looks like one of the better teams in the conference. Miami is still right now at the top, but the way that Georgia Tech has been playing has been very impressive. So I'm excited to see if they can kind of continue the role and jump to 3-0. And if they do, they're going to be a team that's, I think, soon going to start really climbing up the rankings. They're ranked 23rd now. We saw what they did to Florida State, but now with the benefit of 2 weeks of Florida State, we know they suck. But continue to win and having conference play start this early, I'm excited about that one to see what Georgia Tech's offense does on the road against Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know whether or not that win over Florida State is going to hold up as super impressive. Right now, it doesn't look overly impressive like it did week one. But this line reeks, just so you know. So that may be another one that ends up making the smell test. Syracuse at home. They beat Ohio last week, 38-22. You know, you and I talked before even last week. We're not fans of DJU. We didn't think that he would be good at Florida State and they would struggle. He would struggle there. I'm absolutely not a fan of Graham Mertz at Florida. I was not a big Kyle McCord fan last year. I really thought he limited Ohio State offensively, and I think Will Howard's going to be a big upgrade. We'll see. They didn't open with anybody tough last week. But McCord had a very good first game, albeit against Ohio, and they're talking like he's ready. They got a really good receiver, this guy Gadsden, who's a big, big dude. Like he's 6'6", something like that. And a really difficult matchup. So I actually give Syracuse a very good chance in this game. All right, what else?
All right, so there's three more games I want to touch on. We got the two main eventers, but in that middle window, the 3:30 window, it's one of my favorite early season rivalries, Iowa State versus Iowa. The total for this is 35.5.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which I believe is higher than what it was last year. I'll have to go back and double check, but I think last year's matchup between the two was 34.5. So it's gone up a point. Iowa right now a 3-point favorite. Their offense looked good in week one. Granted, they didn't play anybody of note, but it's a rivalry game. It's at Kinnick at Iowa City. I love some of the traditions they have there. I always like this game, and because there's not a lot of ranked-on-ranked matchups this week, and there's really not a lot of great games in that middle window, that's going to be the game that I'm paying the most attention to. Plus, it's one of the first like real good matchups for the Big Ten on CBS, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Well, yes, the whole CBS Big Ten thing with Ohio State and Akron last week seemed a little bit weird with the SEC being on ABC. But that's another subject altogether. Why this is, but I seem to have Iowa State every year against Iowa, and they actually get it done a lot of the time. Sometimes in a loss, but in a very close loss. I'm not going to buy into Cade McNamara. I'm not a big fan of Cade McNamara. They beat Illinois State last week. I am definitely a believer in Iowa's defense. There is no doubt about it. I remember some of the totals last year. Didn't we get down to a game that was like 27?
Yeah,
there was a game last year over-under-wise that was 27, and it stayed under. It was like it may have been the Nebraska game late in the year.
Let me pull up which I bet it. So I know what you're talking about. I got into a habit last year of betting the Iowa unders, and for like 3 weeks when the numbers were insane.
The scores of their games. This is college football, people. Let me give you the scores of Iowa's last seven games last year. 15-6, 12-10, 10-7, 22-0 against Rutgers. I think that was the game, by the way. I think it was 27 in that game. 15-13 against Illinois, 13-10 against Nebraska, 26-0 against Michigan in the Big Ten title game. I mean, and then in the bowl game, they got crushed by Tennessee 35-0. They had five games last year that were shutout games. Now, some of them were wins. Crazy. Three of them were losses. Penn State beat him 31-0, Michigan beat him 26-0, and Tennessee beat him 35-0.
Well, it's a great transition, great segue, because the main event, if you follow just the ranked versus the ranked, Tennessee going on the road, Nico Imayamalavia.
Yeah, I got that right. They love him.
I had to put that down phonetically.
They love him already. I think he's better than Joe Milton.
They think he's better. Well, admittedly, low bar. And then they're taking on NC State. That's going to be at Charlotte. So it's not at home neutral. For NC State. It's going to be at a neutral site, Bank of America. Right now, though, Tennessee is 10-point favorites. I think they were either 7.5 or 8.5 at the open.
Look, that's about recent impressions. NC State, I think they played on Thursday night last week.
Yes, they did.
They were down in the second half against Western Carolina, and they got a couple of touchdowns late, and they won by 17, but that was a very close, tight game, while Tennessee beat Chattanooga, I think, 69-3. I think that's what it was, Chattanooga. And that's about recent impressions. I actually like NC State. I love how well-coached they typically are. And I think this is going to be a very good game in that 7:30, the early evening window. One of the better games of the day. Should be fun to watch Tennessee and NC State. I like NC State. I mean, I think they could win this game outright.
Yeah, I'm on NC State as well. I think there's so much... You can't tell anything about week one about a team when you play Chattanooga. Like, that's why Ohio State didn't really watch them last week. You're playing Akron. Like, I need to see at least your offense go up against a power school. So this will be a good test for the quarterback that is rumored to be the guy that got an $8 million NIL deal. There's never really been confirmation about that, but he's rumored to be the guy that got an $8 million NIL deal before he played a single college football snap. So I'm excited to see him. But you're going to have two screens up because the game it's going up against on NBC and Peacock, you'll watch on NBC, obviously, Colorado-Nebraska. This is a fun one. Last year's game I thought was really fun, with the exception of Nebraska's quarterback being a turnover machine. Now they do not have a turnover machine. They have a guy that could possibly be the next young star in college football with Raiola at quarterback, and Matt Rhule seems to have a much better grip on the program this year than last year, which is to be expected. He gets a full offseason to kind of work his way with the program. I'm excited about this one. Colorado going on the road to Lincoln. Right now, Nebraska is a 6-point favorite, and stunningly, you know, Colorado doesn't seem to have the pull of the masses in terms of everybody rooting for them this time, the same way they did this time last year.
That's true. This time last year, they were the story of sports, not just college football, with their start with the win over TCU, then the win over Nebraska. And I remember, man, that line was super short, and I had Nebraska for the maximum allowed, and it did not work out because of that quarterback, even though they completely dominated the line of scrimmage in that game. There are a lot of people that believe that Matt Rhule is an excellent college coach, that with Raiola, one of the best, you know, recruit quarterbacks in the country in recent years starting, and their defense was outstanding last year, that Nebraska can return to being Nebraska this year. This is a big spot. You're talking about facing one of the best quarterbacks and the best player, I think, in college football in Travis Hunter. Certainly one of the two or three best. If Matt Rhule is going to have a breakout season at home in Lincoln on a Saturday night, you know, after losing and being embarrassed last year, you know, in Boulder, this is a game they have to win. And by the way, they got to win big, you know, to give everybody that feeling. Because I think you may have mentioned this before. They have like a schedule that gives them an opportunity to be like 7-0 before they go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
In late October, early November. Big spot for the Nebraska program, because if they lose to Colorado at home, they'll be written off completely. And if they win, and they win impressively, and their freshman quarterback looks awesome doing it, then Nebraska is going to become a story right into October, because they're probably not going to lose before Ohio State.
Which would be great for at least one of us who is holding a Nebraska over 7.5 wins ticket. I'm excited, though, to watch the quarterback battle. Like, Shador Sanders is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. You know, whatever you feel about the Colorado and the way they go about their business, and even some of the way that he goes about his with the watch and everything like that, he is a fun player to watch. My fear, though, is their offensive line is still bad. And if they were having issues against North Dakota State, who is a great program at the FCS level, but they aren't Nebraska. You know, Nebraska got some big dudes. Their defense last year was really, really good in spite of the fact that their offense was bad. They weren't like Iowa-level good, but they were still really, really good. I'm very worried that Nebraska is going to eat that offensive line alive and Shador Sanders is going to get pummeled. I don't want to see one of the great players in the sport get pummeled in week two.
I think Nebraska is just a completely different animal defensively than North Dakota State was. And I think that's going to be jarring. The environment will be electric for Nebraska. It'll be the toughest environment I think Colorado's gone into, right? Like, what was their toughest road game last year, you know, in the Pac-12? Did they, they played at Oregon. That was a scene. And they got absolutely blown out, right? It was the Oregon game that they went into undefeated, I think.
Yes,
and they were 20-point underdogs.
And they got that was the clip of they're playing for clicks, we're playing for wins that Dan Lanning dropped. So that was probably their toughest environment.
Yeah, that was. So that's comparable. You know, anywhere else they went, I'm looking to see where they went to Washington State. You know, they went to Utah, you know, at the end of the year. But their season was reeling at that point. This is a different animal than North Dakota State, and North Dakota State, you know, had them on the ropes. So we'll see. I like Nebraska. I like Nebraska actually big in this game. I think that they get that win, and it's a too tough of an environment, and they can't protect Shador Sanders in this game. That game will be my primary game Saturday night, NC State, Tennessee, the alternate, the smaller screen. Although I have YouTube TV now.
Yeah, you just pop it on the dual screen. But that's why you got to watch this game on NBC and not on Peacock.
Speaking of speaking of Peacock, I don't know about anybody else out there, but I watched the game last night on Peacock. The picture is so much better than my NBC picture. It is, and I remembered it from the playoff game last year, the Kansas City-Miami, you know, 6-0 or whatever it was, playoff game, about how great the picture was. Like, I'm watching as many games. These NBC games that are on Peacock and NBC, tonight's game is only on Peacock, the Green Bay-Philadelphia game. But Sunday Night Football, moving forward, I'm watching it on Peacock. I'm not watching it on NBC. My picture through streaming Peacock is so much better than my local NBC Channel 4 affiliate.
I'll have to watch it on Peacock.
My Amazon games are much better pictures and much. They're not in 4K either. I don't think they are. Maybe they just converted to 4K and I didn't even know it. All right. Terps, Michigan State. I do want to end with that one. I said this. Well, do you have a thought on the game, first of all, Maryland, Michigan State?
I was debating whether or not I wanted to play it. I'm expecting Maryland to win. Their offense looks really good. And Michigan State is in a very interesting spot, an odd spot, because their coach is great. But Mel Tucker didn't leave them in a good spot. So they're in very much a rebuild. My assumption is that Maryland is going to go in there and or not go in there, that Michigan State is going to come to get their butt whooped in College Park.
So I like Maryland to win. I like Maryland to potentially cover the spread. I don't think they'll be in the smell test. The action's pretty split. Here's the thing in just kind of looking a little bit at Michigan State's opener against FAU, which they barely won last Friday night, 16-10. They're a work in progress, best case on offense, which has been the case recently. Look, Jonathan Smith is going to be better than the situation that they've been in coach-wise the last few years with Tucker, et cetera. Here's the thing that Michigan State was impressive last Friday night with, and again, it was against Florida Atlantic, and I don't know what to expect from Florida Atlantic. They've actually been, you know, okay in recent years. They completely shut down the run. I think Florida Atlantic, they tried to run the football over and over again. They averaged like 2.5 yards per carry, and Maryland wants to be, you know, they want to be certainly balanced. The quarterbacks involved, Billy Edwards Jr. in the run game, as was the Florida Atlantic quarterback who rushed 25 times in the game and was their leading rusher. I think that could keep Michigan State around if Maryland can't run the football. If they struggle to run the football and you're putting it all on Billy Edwards Jr. to be a drop back passer, that's not what he does well. He was excellent last week with his accuracy, especially in play action. But I think the key to this tomorrow night is if Michigan State can stop the run like they did last week, and Maryland's got big-time running backs and Roman Hemby and the freshman Nolan Ray, Colby McDonald, I think if they can stop the run, they've got a chance to really keep this game competitive. If Maryland's able to run the football, it's going to be a one-sided beatdown, big time. So Maryland's a 9.5-point favorite in this game. And then will your Hokies bounce back after that loss at Vanderbilt?
They better, although I saw something on Twitter, so FSU became the first team in a long, long time, maybe ever, to be double-digit favorites in the first two games and then lose outright. Virginia Tech is a double-digit favorite again this week, so they have an opportunity to do the most idiotic thing ever and lose to Marshall, who I think beat them last year. Tech is a 20.5-point favorite against Marshall on in the CW.
Rival. No, not in-state.
No,
rival.
No, not Marshall's in-state.
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia.
We are. All right, we will get to some Denton news, including some of the U.S. Open tennis last night and the scheduled men's semifinals today. And then at 12, Ben will jump on with us. I'll have my smell test at 12:25. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
I watched some tennis last night. I mean, I got to watch pretty much that whole Navarro-Sabalenka match because the game got delayed, you know, by 25 minutes or whatever it was. So are you going to start there?
Yeah, that's where we're going
to
start.
Produce your news.
No, we're starting there because Jessica Pegula will advance to the final. It feels like every time we see her in big tournaments, she exits early. So I'm really excited for her to get to play in the final. But then tonight is Francis Tiafoe, the 20th ranked of, obviously, he's from here. We love Francis Tiafoe, taking on 12th ranked Taylor Fritz, who's from San Diego. So two Americans squaring off. The winner gets to the final. It'll be the first time in, like, what, at least one, maybe two decades since we've had an American in the final of the U.S. Open. So it's a big deal. There's a lot on the line tonight for the tennis.
The winner of this match, we talked about this the other day, Taylor Fritz is a massive favorite, minus 240 favorite. He's beaten Tiafoe the last six times he has faced him. I think, you know, just general sports fans that may pay attention to the U.S. Open are like, Francis Tiafoe, he's gonna get to the final. No, he's actually a huge underdog. That is also the second match of the day, which is going to go right into Packers-Eagles. So I really want to watch this tennis match between Tiafoe and Fritz, but I'm not going to miss an NFL game for it. I'll have dual screens going. Let me just say one thing about last night. That Emma Navarro gave Sabalenka everything she wanted, but Jessie Pegula was down 6-1, 2-0 in the second, and facing break point. She was getting absolutely demolished in that match and then completely turned it around against Carolina Muhova and came back and basically won 12 of the next, I think it was 16 games, and won 6-4, 6-2 in the last two sets. Good for her. She's very likable. Great, a really good interview. Very, I think, humble, self-aware. There's something about her that's very appealing. She has my birthday, by the way. I don't know how that popped up, but she was born on February 24th as well. She's a Pisces, that means. I know I'm a Pisces. I couldn't tell you any other horoscope sign and when it is. That's not true. I could tell you that Aquarius is before Pisces. I know that. I don't know what follows Pisces. But I was glad that she won. So you get an American woman in the final. She's got to be a big underdog. I didn't check the line for that, but I bet Sabalenka is a massive underdog in that final. I'm trying to look it up. Do you see it anywhere?
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up here.
Women's singles odds. Let's see what we got here. Minus 330.
Oof.
Yeah, Sabalenka's minus 330 in this match. Big favorite. Taylor Fritz, I just pulled it. It's been updated. He's up minus 295 tonight against Tiafoe.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's better than the other one. Jannik Sinner's minus 750.
Yeah, and Sinner would be a massive favorite over either Tiafoe or Fritz, but go Francis Tiafoe, go Jessie Pegula. But if Taylor Fritz wins, I'll be rooting for him to win, especially against this guy Sinner, who I know that all the tennis people are protecting him, saying that whatever it was in his system, it was accidental, the whole thing. But we've seen other people banned completely for this kind of thing, but apparently not the number one player in the world. Good tennis this week with Americans actually being significantly featured and winning matches. All right, what else do we have?
All right, we got the Nats last night. They lose to the Pirates 9-4. Jake Irvin, who had a really good start to the season, has kind of been struggling since. He pitched 5 innings, 6 runs on 7 hits with just 4 strikeouts. He's now 9-12 on the season.
Yeah, their starting pitching from early in the season has taken a major step back. This is a big weekend for the Orioles and the Yankees. The Orioles face the Yankees coming up. See how I switched from Nats to Orioles? Because I think we have a lot of Orioles fans. They play Tampa, they play Boston, and then is it New York after that? No, it's not New York until the end of the month. My fault. It's the next to last series. They go to Yankee Stadium for a 3-game set, which may be, you know, what determines the American League East. And, by the way, potentially, you know, the number one, the top two teams do not have to play in the first round. The division winner with the worst record has to play in that best of three, along with the three wild cards. The wild card races in both leagues are pretty interesting. The National League in particular, a lot of teams playing well. The Mets have been surging. They've won seven games in a row. Anything else?
Yeah, final thing here. A cool story for Caleb Williams. He hasn't played in the NFL yet, but it was announced yesterday that USC is going to retire his number 13 as well as Reggie Bush's number 5. By the way, way too late on the Reggie Bush thing, but I guess they wanted him to get reinstated and get his Heisman back.
Yeah, he had to get reinstated, I think, for that. Definitely. Well, congrats to Caleb Williams. The Heisman Trophy winner deserves to have that honor. All right, Ben Standing next, then the smell test. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.